Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
He would appear in the dark.
Hunting, literally hunting.
He was a killer.
World of Secrets, Season 3, The Apartheid Killer. Listen now, wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
As I walk down the train tracks that bisect the little village of Guadalupe La Patrona, commonly known just as La Patrona in Veracruz, one's struck by just the simplicity of the idea that some 30 years ago, a couple of sisters were walking home from buying some groceries nearby and the train came past.
So when my sisters saw that people were hungry, they realized that they weren't from here, but rather that they had come here from other countries because of their accents.
And just on impulse, they threw what they'd bought onto the train.
Bags of bread and boxes of milk. They thought my mom was going to scold them. But no. My sister said, well, Mom, the people on the train were hungry and asked for food. And my mother said, it's good that you gave them the bread then. And we have some other snacks here we can give them too. Then my mom went out and bought the bags and told us, make rice, make beans, make scrambled eggs, and we'll make tacos. And that's what was done. We made 30 portions of food, which went very quickly because in those days there were lots of people on the trains. So my mom said there wasn't enough. We had to get organized and make more food.
And it's in that tiny little trajectory that the women of Las Patronas, the volunteers and Norma, must sprint out to these tracks and with wheelbarrows of bottled water and scores of plastic bags of food and throw them on to show the travelling migrants just a small touch of humanity as they continue their journey north.
I'm Will Grant, the BBC's Mexico and Central America correspondent, and this is the documentary from the BBC World Service. I've been living in and reporting from Mexico for 12 years. A lot has changed in that time, and some things have stayed the same. Today, Mexico and the United States are at a pivotal point in their relationship. Mexico has just elected a new president, its first female president in history, and the United States is entering full steam into its presidential election campaign. But what does that mean for the migrants travelling north on one of the most dangerous migrant journeys in the world? 10 years ago, I met a unique group of Mexican women, Las Patronas, who have made it their mission to offer the migrants a little food and compassion as they pass through their village. I wanted to go back to ask them how shifting attitudes to migration have affected their humanitarian work. From the early 2000s to the late 2010s, Latin American migration surged as millions of people fled the dangers and hardships of their homelands for better opportunities elsewhere. By December 2023, nearly 250,000 migrants a month were encountered crossing illegally into the United States from Mexico by the U.S. Border Patrol, according to government statistics.
I would say that going through Mexico's mountains by train is very dangerous. That traversing Mexico is the most dangerous thing you can imagine.
The journey they've taken to that point is arduous in the extreme. Many will have crossed the Darien Gap, a treacherous stretch of jungle separating Colombia from Panama on foot. Another of the most perilous parts of the route is aboard a freight train known as La Bestia, meaning the beast, or El Tren de la Muerte, the train of death. A rumbling, creaking steel behemoth, the train was never meant for human passengers, but to transport cargo and freight. So the migrants travel through Mexico by sitting on the roofs of its wagons or clinging on tightly to the ladders.
If she hadn't been holding on properly, they've thrown her from the train as it was still in motion.
Originating near the border with Guatemala, the trip takes some migrants to the border with the United States, a daunting nearly 2,000-kilometer-long journey through Mexico. Along the way, migrants are in constant danger of kidnappings, extortion, robbery, abuse and assault, as Mexico's powerful criminal gangs target and prey on the migrants. The journey is also plagued by the risk of abuses from the very people charged with upholding the law in Mexico. Encounters with immigration officials, police officers and the military along their route can often be brutal, as Guadalupe, who is traveling from El Salvador, explains.
At that moment, there on the train, everyone knows what's going to happen. And no one has their cell phones out, so there is no evidence. You know something else? They hit us in such a way that the marks aren't visible. You know, they hit me twice on the head.
Just boarding the train is dangerous enough. Scores of men, women and children scramble on as La Bestia sets off, or, even more life-threatening, jump on as it passes. Don Rafa is a 53-year-old migrant from Venezuela. He spent 2 months with Las Patronas recovering from a horrific injury he sustained while riding La Bestia.
We've been traveling for around 15 days through all of Mexico's towns. And of all the countries we've traveled through, Mexico is the hardest one to go through because of the obstacles in the way. Military, immigration agents, police, all of that. It's really tough and stressful. You're chased. So we went on the train, and this is what happened to me because of that. I wanted to get off because the immigration authorities were up ahead. So as I was getting down the stairs, the train suddenly sped up. In the first attempt, I had a bag and I couldn't get off. And as I tried to climb back, I slipped onto the rails. The train went over me, over my two legs.
I spoke to Don Rafa via telephone as he was being given prosthetic limbs in another Mexican state.
Every one of us have their own reasons for traveling, for leaving their country. I would say that going through Mexico's mountains by train is very dangerous. That traversing Mexico is the most dangerous thing you can imagine. It's such a large country, and traveling without papers, 1,001 things can happen to you. Doing that by the cargo train, even worse. But still, God is great, and all I can say is I won't tell anyone to do it, nor I would tell them not to.
However, should Don Rafa and other migrants even reach America, they may well find their journey ends there and then. Earlier in this critical election year, President Biden issued a sweeping executive order on immigration, which clamped down heavily on asylum requests.
This action will help us gain control of our border, restore order into the process.
Previously, any undocumented immigrant requesting asylum would have to be processed and entered into the U.S. legal system for a court date. Under the new rules, however, if the border states are considered to be overwhelmed, Customs and Border Protection officers can simply deport them, often straight back into Mexico without processing their asylum requests. Away from the hostility and the prospect of detention centers and deportations, for at least one moment on their journey, many migrants experience a gesture of kindness through the actions of a group of women called Las Patronas.
My name is Norma Romero Vázquez. I am the coordinator of the group Las Patronas.
Norma was just 24 years old when the initiative began. Today, in her mid-50s, there are flecks of grey in her hair, which is pulled back into a tight ponytail. A somewhat tough exterior quickly dissolves into smiles over coffee and conversation. It was on the 14th of February 1995 that Norma's sisters, Rosa and Bernarda, encountered migrants hanging onto the train carriages while returning from shopping for bread and milk. The project has grown since that first bag of food was thrown onto a train. The team's consistent, simple initiative has earned them national and international recognition. In 2013, they received Mexico's National Human Rights Prize, and 2 years later, Las Patronas were nominated for the Princess of Asturias Award for Human Rights and the Promotion of Peace.
The name Las Patronas isn't something we chose. Migrants started to arrive and say, ah, you're Las Patronas. And we'd say, no, we're not patronas. Of course you are, they say, because they see the mural of Our Lady of Guadalupe, because the village is called La Patrona. And because you're women, you're patronas. So the name came from them, the migrants, really. The local people started to laugh at us and say, ah, you think you're patronas. Because the word patrona also means boss lady. We'd say, no, no, we're just women. But then we got to thinking that actually being women and identifying with Our Lady of Guadalupe, it is something to embrace and be proud of. So yes, they baptized us as Las Patronas. And the name stuck.
It's interesting to come back to Las Patronas after 10 years. Much remains the same. Bright pink buildings with its mural of the Virgen de Guadalupe, the patron saint of Mexico, on the wall. There are a few more murals painted on, perhaps, since I was last here. But the space is very much the same as it always has been. But more importantly, so is its mission.
Norma and the other women's work revolves around one simple thing: feeding hungry strangers as they pass through town. Over time, the women of Las Patronas have been able to grow their project into something that is theirs and theirs alone, free from interference from the government or the church or international NGOs. A program conceived by and entirely run by women, a difficult thing to achieve in Mexico.
It is not easy for women to integrate in the group precisely because of the machismo that exists in the town. There's an attitude that you'll get involved with the migrant man, that maybe you'll fall in love with one and they'll take you away. That's one point. The other is that some of the women who've worked here have sadly had to leave because of the husband saying things like, what are you doing over there? You should be taking care of the home.
The small kitchen and shelter at Las Patronas is a constant hive of activity. Once all of the prep is done, Las Patronas head out to the tracks.
What? What do you mean, no?
La Bestia operates without a fixed schedule, with some days seeing only one train passing by, while on others there may be as many as three. Even though the train is unpredictable, the women of Las Patronas try to meet every single one.
You're going to have to chuck it, Julia. The food. Mad dash to get into place. It does now seem that the train is approaching and everybody is in place at the side of the road to throw on the bread, the parcels of food, the bags of food and bottles of water when it passes. You can hear the horn, the train horn in the distance, approaching.
As the train passes, they call out, food, food, to alert the migrants, extending their arms with the meals and water for the migrants to grab as they pass by. In recent months, the women say, it's increasingly common to see empty trains. They think it's a reflection of how hard the journey by La Bestia is becoming. But the apparent drop in numbers also speaks of the cumulative effect of Washington's messaging. If you make it to the US, you won't be allowed in. Clearly, in an election year, migration remains paramount. You're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
He was a kind of vigilante killer.
He killed at least 19 people during the 1980s in South Africa.
Very dark times.
People were desperate. We were looking for him. We couldn't find him. And nobody knew where he was.
Every single one of his victims was black.
He reached such a stage where he was now hunting.
World of Secrets from the BBC World Service. Season 3, The Apartheid Killer. Search for World of Secrets wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Guadalupe is a Salvadoran woman traveling with her 17-year-old daughter, Nicole, trying to reach the US. Before they left, she says, the cost of living was skyrocketing and they faced threats, but not from local street gangs. As they traveled through Mexico, they were taken off the train by immigration authorities in the northern state of Guanajuato and unceremoniously dumped back at Mexico's border with Guatemala.
Pero esa vez del tren...
It was a bad experience because we were making our second attempt to reach the U.S. border, and they boarded the train aggressively. They began to insult us and shout and swear at us and yell at us. They hit my daughter, and if she hadn't been holding on properly, they've thrown her from the train as it was still in motion.
This time they're heading north again, but by road instead of the train.
We've lost a lot of people that we are on this, our third attempt. They have passed the same way as we have, but the cartels got hold of them, they've taken, and we've no idea what happened to them after that.
They came to the shelter at Las Patronas to rest, recuperate, and gather their strength.
Yesterday we witnessed what their work is like, to prepare food or to bag it up and everything and get it onto the train tracks. I really admire and respect what they do. The truth is, not everyone could do it. In all the states of Mexico, in all its villages, Las Patronas is unique. Really, it's unique. We have recovered enough to keep going again.
Whether they spend just 2 days under the protection of Las Patronas like Guadalupe, or 2 whole months like Don Rafa, the migrants who come to the shelter say they are treated with more dignity and cordiality than they'd come to expect on the road.
I stayed with Las Patronas and I received so much support from them, from all of them. They were so good to me. My injuries needed treating every day, and they were all wonderful. A huge moral support. I have no way to pay them. The women of Las Patronas, God bless them.
Norma has been doing this humanitarian work for 3 decades as politics changes in both countries and policies come and go. Recently, Mexico elected a new president.
Las mujeres lleguemos a la presidencia de la República.
On the 2nd of June 2024, Claudia Sheinbaum was elected as Mexico's first female president in a historic landslide win. Ms. Sheinbaum will take office on October the 1st. Norma, however, will need convincing that this will have a positive impact for the migrants she helps.
I have never put my faith in politics. Rather, I believe in people who bring change and have different ways of thinking. Sadly, politics hasn't improved since, well, as long as I can remember. There has not been any change that benefits migration. There hasn't been anything that has been a benefit to migrants.
For her part, Guadalupe knows she's trying to pass through Mexico without the right paperwork.
I understand that Mexico is not my country. I understand that as immigrants, legally speaking, we do not have the right to demand that they let us pass through Mexico because we do not even have the right papers or anything like that from this country. I understand that perfectly. But this is the only country that connects us in Central America to the United States. We have no other country we can go through, on top of which we are not doing any harm either. On the contrary, when we go to a place to eat, we are giving an income to the people who own those businesses. We go to a bus terminal, we are giving an income to the people who own transportation. So as we go through Mexico, what harm are we doing?
Many residents in, and certainly the governors of, U.S. border states would say quite the opposite, arguing that undocumented immigration causes far more damage than Guadalupe is prepared to admit. They point to overstretched border staff and overflowing detention centres, saying the authorities cannot cope with the numbers of people entering the country illegally. Migrant rights groups argue that these immigrants perform vital work in agriculture, construction, in restaurants and hotels, which help to support the US economy. As for the migrants themselves, Norma says many harbour serious misconceptions about the complexity of the journey and what awaits them on the other side of the Rio Grande.
Yes, sadly there is a real lack of information. The migrants don't have the basic information they need about what is involved in traveling through Mexico. As people, we have to see what's happening and not just think about ourselves. We need to think about the well-being for everyone.
Las Patronas have faced criticism, indifference, and occasional rejection from some neighbours, relatives, and at times the authorities and the church. These challenges have led to the departure of some members from the group, but the remaining members are fully committed to the cause. As the youngest volunteer, Itaveni came to Las Patronas from the state of Puebla, hoping to spend a few weeks volunteering. She's been here for 2.5 years.
Irrespective of the political or economic situation around migration, the essence of the shelter is to help those in need. It's not our role to either judge or investigate whether you've been good or bad. Our mission is simply to support those who need our help. Everyone has to answer for their actions one day, whenever that may be. Meanwhile, we just show everyone who comes through the door the same love and respect as the person before them.
It's clear that it wasn't just about giving them some food. Perhaps being a woman brings a different type of sensitivity towards other human beings. That's how I see it. Anyway, once we started, we couldn't stop helping. We began to work with the local clinic. When someone falls off the train, they're brought to us, and we take them to the hospital, which serves them without charge.
And the village's identity has become shaped by the weary men, women, and children who pass through it.
Today, the community is a bit different. In the past, when people saw migrants coming around, they'd say, "No, you can't stay around here, keep moving." They wouldn't even tell them, "Hey, around the corner there is a shelter that could help you." Now people have changed. Previously, people were too scared to help. These days, they no longer turn migrants away, but instead direct them to our shelter where they can find help. So we've raised some awareness, but it takes time. We've invited women to beauty workshops to get to know us and the migrant women better. We've also invited mothers to bring their children to reading and painting workshops. It helps interaction and understanding, showing them that migrants are people like you and me, simply looking for a place to rest and regain their strength before continuing their journey.
For many that speed through this village, it will remain a snatched moment in time, part of a patchwork of experiences they encounter on the road, some of them kind and generous, many others cruel and abusive.
The truth is that it is going to be even more complicated for the immigrants who come after us to reach the United States. God willing, Claudia Sheinbaum, who has been elected president in Mexico, God willing, she brings a more human heart to the question of immigration. Let's not pretend we expect to be able to take a bus from Mexico's border with Guatemala and that it will take us straight to the border with the United States. No, of course not. But the abuses should stop.
Son varios temas, y en efecto uno es migración.
The Guadalupe's calls for more humane treatment of migrants in Mexico. The Mexican government asserts that it always treats migrants with respect and fairness. In a recent press conference, Mexico's outgoing president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, expressed his hope that the United States will fund job creation and development programs in Central America to dissuade young people from leaving home. The Mexican government points out that Central America's migrants can get work permits to remain in Mexico, and President López Obrador asked that the U.S. presidential candidates don't take advantage of migration for political ends. As the election beckons, Critics say that that is increasingly unlikely. Every year, Mexico deports thousands of people to their home countries, but many thousands more are removed within Mexico's borders itself, sent to towns on the southern border with Guatemala. Short of a full deportation, the tactic keeps the migrants from the US's door, much to Washington's approval. It's happened twice in 6 weeks to Salvadoran migrant Guadalupe, and she likens the process to a game of snakes and ladders with the authorities.
It's similar, definitely very similar. Because just as in the board game, you have to avoid stepping on the snakes or you are back to square one, it's the same here too. If we don't hide or run faster than them and avoid them, then our journey ends there and we are sent all the way back to the start.
The constant game of cat and mouse with the authorities only makes the migrants more thankful for the respite they find at the shelter with Las Patronas.
We really appreciate them because it's clear that there are people who want to help immigrants from the bottom of their hearts. They put themselves in our shoes a little to understand a little what we've been suffering along the way.
La Bestia is perhaps the most potent symbol of the extreme lengths Latin American migrants are prepared to go to reach the United States, risking quite literally life and limb to journey north. The trip is fraught with hardship and abuse. Yet along the way, many encounter small acts of kindness, especially from Las Patronas of Veracruz, who have no intention of turning off their stoves as long as freight trains full of migrants keep coming past.
I hope people will start to understand the true situation. Many have no idea what migrants go through. Those of us who are here see it firsthand. The dream that many call the American dream has turned into a nightmare for many, with people experiencing very bad things. Achieving that dream has come to a high cost. Let's hope that in the future, fewer people lose their lives or limbs. Sadly, many migrants pay the ultimate price.
You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. Las Patronas is an Audio Always production for the BBC World Service, presented by me, Will Grant, produced by Nancy Biflani and Julia Galliano Rios.
He was a kind of vigilante killer.
He killed at least 19 people during the 1980s in South Africa.
Very dark times.
People were desperate. We were looking for him. We couldn't find him. And nobody knew where he was.
Every single one of his victims was black.
He reached such a stage where he was now hunting.
World of Secrets from the BBC World Service. Season 3, The Apartheid Killer. Search for World of Secrets wherever you get your BBC podcasts.